I want you to take your Bible today, and I want to turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to kind of hurry up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One little verse. I'll cover a little more if I can. If I can't, that's fine. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I like this book because it starts out in the first of the chapter in such a way to remind you. For we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And so he just lays it out about the time when we die. But also he jumps all the way as he begins to explain himself well. But I'm going to leave some verses out real quick. But if you'll follow with me down to verse 15, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I've heard that verse so many times. So easy to memorize and so easy to remember, so easy to get used to it. But we should never get used to it, because it's the thrust, folks, for us to remind people that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The new creature. He's not the same person. He's a new creature. He's not the old person. He's a new person. He's not what he used to be. He's different. I mean, he is not the same. He's been changed. That verse ought to just come out every time you think about the need for a person to be saved, and can he be saved, and will he be saved, and what can I say to help him be saved? And that verse ought to come out. Because that applies to anybody. It applies to those who you might think may never be saved. And you know, there's something about what the Lord has done. You read the scriptures, and as was reading Genesis a while ago, reminding us what God did back in Genesis days, and the first chapter and the first in that entire chapter. But if you look in that chapter, you begin to see what God created. God created so many things. But on the sixth day, his creation stopped. On the sixth day, there was no more creation. There was the sea, there was the heavens, there was the earth, there was the waters, there was the birds, there was animals, there was man, there was, but it stopped. There was no more. And then when you keep reading and you get to chapter 3 and you start seeking out what takes place, and you see man. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 also reminds us that what man did, he was ruined in the fall. Right. He fell. And when he did, there were some things that was affected. And especially him. He fell. I was doing something the other day at the house, and I went out there to do some work, but, you know, I bundled up. It was like 30 degrees out there, and I put some gloves on, and I took one glove off to take a lock off, and before I could get it on, and I opened that garage door, and I was backing up, and I hit the basketball goal, the base of it. It has that bunch of water in it, you know. And so when I hit it, I tripped, and I tried to catch myself, and I hit the ground where my glove was missing. My other one didn't get scratched or nothing, because I had a big old puffy glove on. Now, I should have kept that glove on. But it ruined my hand. It cut me. And I hit my head on the concrete. And you can tell, can't you? But I got hurt. And there was another blood coming out somewhere on my face or somewhere, but I just walked in the house and my wife says, "What'd you do this time?" See, there's a difference between physical fall and a spiritual fall. We can always, like I did, you know, I went in the bathroom and I just covered it up. I cleaned it up. I poured alcohol in it and cried a little bit. Put some peroxide on it. And then I put some Neosporin on it. And then I found this big old square bandage. I put it on there. And it still didn't help. It comforted me a little bit. But what helped was later on, it took care of it. And I can't even see anything. I see one little black spot where maybe there's still something in there. But it's fine because it healed up. It's all right. I feel good. And the thing about it is, though, when I was a person in my spiritual life, looking at my spiritual life, didn't understand it. We didn't grow up in church, my wife and I. We didn't grow up in church. Our parents weren't good Christians. And so we just physically lived as we wanted to. Spiritually, we were lost and undone. And yet we didn't understand that. But the day came when you get older and you want to fix it. Because you know you're doing wrong. You know you're sinning. You know you're not proper. You're not normal compared to the people that you know that are Christians. And you know that's the way it ought to be. The lost people ought to look at you and say, something wrong with me. I wonder why they can handle that. I wonder why they can take that. I wonder why they act the way they... I wonder why they go to church. I wonder why... And their wives should let them know that you are different.
That's right.
That there's been an application of spirit in your life. And your spiritual life tells a lot. But we wasn't saved. And so I remember when my mom and dad used to drink and they'd get drunk and I'd look at them and I'd be sad in my heart. I'd weep a lot because I didn't want them to be like that. My mom and dad never told us they loved us. But when they were drinking, my mom would say, and she's drinking, and she'd say, "Larry, come here, hug me. I love you. I love you, my son." And I couldn't go. Because I believe she didn't mean it. She had to get drunk to tell me that. You can say anything when you're drunk, and you may not mean it. So we couldn't fix it, but I did say this. When I get old enough, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to be like them. I'm not going to be like them. I'm not going to be like them. And I believed it in my heart. But when I got old enough, I couldn't fix that. You can't put a bandage on it and make it all right. You can't clean your life up yourself. And I learned the difference. Something was wrong with me. And I began to drink when I was a young man. I began to smoke and I began to run around and getting in trouble. When I got older, I met this young lady. She wasn't saved either. And when I met her, we started going together in high school. And one day, her mama started telling her, "You stay away from that McKinney boy. He'll get you in trouble. You stay away from him. He's no good." See, I didn't know this till later on. But one day when I got saved, her mama said, "You better go get him." When she knew I was going to go to Bible college, she said, "You better go get him." When she knew that I was in Bible college, she helped us go through Bible college. She bought us gas. She bought us sandwiches, hamburgers. She bought us things. And she gave us some cash to keep going to school, stay in school. That's a good mother-in-law. And she was a blessing to us. But you see, I'm saying this, there came a time in my life when I realized I could not fix myself. There's something else out there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creature. And we gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I did, there's something that took place. And I was never the first one that did that. If you were to Acts chapter 9 And you'll see where, and you read that entirety of that chapter, and you see where Saul, he came, he was threatening the church, he was killing believers, he was terrorizing the church, he was totally all against the church, and he came along, and he met the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 9. And when he met the Lord Jesus, there was a side of him. I can imagine somewhere along, maybe Saul probably said, I wish I didn't do this. I wish I would like I am. I wish I wouldn't vile as I am. But one day he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, it all changed. I mean, it changed so drastically that he asked a question that many of us are afraid to ask God today. And we've been saved for a long time. But at the moment he got saved, that same moment he said, what wilt thou have me to do? He was giving himself totally up to the Lord. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And some of us have rejected that. We've neglected to say that. But it's about time that we come along and learn that if God has really changed your life, then you should be ready to show forth that he has changed you. You're not the same person. You know, you as a, if you're a young parent, you ought to stop and think about it. That God wants you to change in such a way to be the parent that you should be. It revolves around your kids, your wife, a family, revolves around teaching them, leading them, helping them. It revolves around all of that because you've been changed. You shouldn't have trouble doing that. I saw a woman yesterday riding a bike and had two kids and riding a bike, and I thought, where's the daddy? Where's the daddy? He probably went golfing. He probably went boating. Probably went fishing. He's not there. I don't know why. Maybe he's not there. But the thing about it is when God changes you, your family comes into perspective. You have more of a optimistic view of life when your life changes. And your family begins to look at you because now you want to go to church. You want to take part in Sunday school. You want to take part on Sunday nights. Putting a plug for the preacher here. You start taking part on Wednesday nights. Take part on prayer meetings. You take part on church events. Well, I was looking at your bulletin this morning. I said, wow, they do everything here. I wished I was coming back through on this day. They're going to have a big meal. That's good to have. And make those activities available for the people. Because it's for helping the families to keep coming and growing together, enjoying church, see what church has. Let's get involved. Let's do this thing. That's part of what church ought to do to us. I was telling my wife one day, I mean, that was this morning, I said, have I missed church? And she said, I remember you missed church one time. You had to work. You was sick and you went on to work. And you was real sick when you got home. And you fell asleep. And that day you said you was too sick to go to church. And I thought, well, I'm glad she remembers that because I don't. I was too sick. But I always go to church. I always, even when I'm not feeling well, I'll be at church. I may stay away from some people, but I'm still going. But church is a place that's found its way in my heart. I used to be an Indian. I don't go to powwows. My powwow is at church. My spirit is not the great spirit. My spirit is the Holy Spirit. I don't have to get around all these natives. My people are the people of God. I don't have to go and talk about some oral traditions. My pastime is this book right here. all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. There's a definitely a change in your life when you come to Jesus Christ. He changes you completely. And if you're here and you are a teenager, so many teenagers today say this, my mom and dad don't understand me. My mom and dad are against me. My mom and dad punish me. Wait a minute. Maybe it's you that needs to change. Maybe it's you. Your heart needs to change. Because I know other teenagers, Christian teenagers, who love their moms and dads to no end, who obey mom and dad. And the scriptures did say that. Honor your parents, for this is right. So it may be that you just need to change. You need to come to Christ. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have an old friend. His name is Bill Stewart. He passed away some time back, but Bill Stewart used to help us there in Tacoma, Washington, in Tacoma Indian Baptist Church. And one day I decided I let him stay where out and preach a while, and I said, I want to know if you want to take the church. Well, he's an old man, but he knew how to preach, and he knew how to. This is what some of the people told me. He says about anything he wants to, but because he's old, nobody holds him to it. And I thought, well, you mean when I get old, I'm going to get by with some things? I can't wait till I get old, you know? But then I heard him say some stuff one time, and I said, I don't want to say that. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to have an attitude like that. I want to grow old and gracious. I want to be grateful. And I want to know how to reach other old people who are grumpy. But I don't want to grow old and cruel and mean. I want to grow old, pull my heart out to people. I want to let people know that Jesus made a difference in my life. And he wants to make a difference in their life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How new? So new. I got to skip all this one. I'm trying to save some time here, but when you become new, I tell you what really takes place in your heart. The Holy Spirit changes you so much. You know, we got so much meanness in this world today. Got so much evil in this world. Got so many bad things going on. And what's way back there is way up here now. Even in days of Noah, everything looked bad and turned bad. And now in our day, it's done the same thing. Everywhere we turn, drugs are destroying people's lives, individual lives. Drugs are destroying bodies, minds, the faculties of what God gave you, the ability to understand the gospel message. That's the sad thing. Drugs are destroying that. Promiscuity is destroying the homes. Homes are falling apart. Preachers are falling off because what they used to believe is they're not hanging on to those things because promiscuity, secularism, is destroying the church. What we used to be like. Now we got the world coming into the church. The world's taking over. The world is taking over all the events and activities. And people say, I'm not going to a church unless they got the world in it. And that's where they're going. They don't want to come just to a church where you preach the gospel, the purity of the gospel, the sure thing of the gospel. They don't want to hear about the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our cities are being destroyed by crime. Everywhere we go, we see all of this stuff, the effects of crime. Crime. Humanism is destroying our schools. Our kids in schools, public schools, are no count anymore. Our public school on the reservation that we was at, the kids run the school. Kids cursing directly at the teacher. And then when the teacher tried to get order, the parents would come in and take over for the kids and curse the teacher. I told my wife one day, I said, if I was a Christian teacher there, I wouldn't even work no more. I'd walk out. They'd have a mass walkout at public schools. I'd start something. If I was a teacher, I'd get something going. You say, preacher, no. That's what you need. Go home and homeschool your kids. Give them a grand education. And you see, one boy was telling me the other day, I said, you homeschool? He said, yeah. And I said, it figures. I could tell you homeschool. He said, it had been the best thing I ever done. When I went to college and I started understanding some of the new things in college and I was answering those questions, he said, I thought, Mama taught me this. Daddy, help me with this. There's not a better education than that. But therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And so the thing of all of this is sin has been just obvious as can be. It's been there. But when you read Acts chapter 9 and verse, the whole entire chapter, and then get to Acts chapter 13, and this is where we're going to go real quick. I said Acts chapter 9, and now we're going to go to verse chapter 13 in Acts. Just read a few verses. I'm almost through here. And then when you see what happens in Acts, look in 13. Now there were in the church. In the church. You ought to see what's in the church. There's some godly people in church. God has reasons to bless this church because of some people in this church. There were in the church. This was in Syria, and he says, that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And Saul. As they ministered, listen, to the Lord, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their ministry. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul. And I like that little just verse. Bible has no errors in it. And the way they wrote it and the way it says Barnabas and Saul, you would think it'd say Saul and Barnabas. No, Barnabas and Saul. Some of us have trouble being second person, being named third or fourth down the list, being as second or fourth important person. It's not here by accident. And it says, Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. There will be a lot of interruptions in your life. And the devil is good about it. But I want you to go to the next verse. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. I like this verse because he says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, his name was changed. I had to learn that even when I became a new Christian. I read that verse and it jumps out at me. It says like, Larry, who is also called a Christian, set his eyes on him. If you haven't read that verse like that, you need to. Paul, his name was changed to little man, humble man. He brought himself down to where he needed to so God could use him. And when he saw him, he put his eyes on him. People were important to him. It's much like Acts chapter 3 when you saw that beautiful gate. Eyes to people is important. And so when you are a new person in Christ, old things have passed away. And you can think about the old things that passed away and it makes you cry. No, it makes you smile because old things passed away. It'll make you smile because you'll be glad what really has been forgiven in your life. I see myself in the old day, but I see myself as a new person. Nobody else may believe that, but I know it. I know, therefore, all things become new. I got saved in 1975. Everything is still new to me. You've been saved a long time, preacher. Yeah, but it's still new to me. I hadn't got over it. I still appreciate it every day. And I still love more than anything the one who did that for me. It was the same person on the cross when he had two thieves. And one of them said, today, Lord, would you remember me? When you come into your paradise, will you remember me? Jesus turned to him and said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. All things passed away. All things become new. You know, this morning, that could be you. If you're not in a position of having a new life, that old life's still controlling. Your old life is running. Your old life's getting you in trouble. The old life bring you to a miserable place. He's going to keep you there. But that new life in Jesus, he'll make it brand new. Make it brand new. Won't you trust him today? Won't you say, Jesus, save my soul. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, you died for me. My sins put you on the cross. Jesus, I see that. I understand that. And the Bible says that if I confess you, that if I, whosoever believeth on him, shall be saved. And I want to be saved. He'll save you. And if you're here today, you're already a Christian, but you need to make amends. You need to make right some things with God. You need to do that today. Maybe if you're here, you don't have a church home. This will be a right place for you. That will teach you the gospel. That will teach you the scriptures. Teach you how to develop into a good Christian man or woman. This is a good church to call it home. Talk to the preacher about it. And maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe God is speaking to your heart about ministry, about becoming a servant, about making yourself available to be a missionary or a pastor, youth worker, bus driver, whatever. Surrender to him. That's that new thing I'm talking about. That all goes with that. I say new because it's still new. My wife and I started in Texas, Oklahoma, and Washington, Oregon, and now we're looking for a new place to go, land our feet somewhere else, wherever God says to go. It's still new to us. That's why. We just got old and used to things. We'd stay where we are. We probably wouldn't ever left Texas. But a lot of people like that. New things. Because you can't get used to the new stuff that he made you with. And that new stuff begins with the Spirit of God. I'm going to ask the preacher, go ahead and come. And I had to cut this one off too. But we've been talking about mercy and grace and the love of God that he commends his heart, commends commends him, I can't even think of that verse now. Commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God, that's what it is. The preacher, you mean God can love somebody like me? He surely can. I learned that way back a long time ago. And many of you have known that too. And as the instruments start playing, preachers, go ahead and take over before I'm thinking I'm in the Indian church and I can preach long as I want.